We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir?
Yes, no.
No?
Sir, it was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not by
now. No, it's not fun anymore, not even a little bit.
Just look at that, he hit the fall. That gets a free steak. You having fun yet?
Oh, yeah, I'm having a blast, thanks.
Good.
All right, welcome back to Big Screen Sports, the podcast where all movies are sports movies. I am your host, Kyle Bandujo. It is our final episode of March, and our final patron pick of March, the Big Screen Sports Patreon group, picked three of our movies, and today they picked a perfect movie. Me and Caroline Darney are talking about John Wick, a movie that absolutely rips, just 97 minutes of awesome, except for like 2 minutes of really bad. I will give anyone a heads up here. You can turn on John Wick at 1625 and you'll just know that he's mad, and you don't have to know exactly why. At least you don't have to see why. But great episode. Always great chopping it up with Caroline on a great movie. And before we get into it, I want to shout out, we've got a new patron, new producer patron, Sean Hoffman, who joined up as a producer. And then shout out to current patron Hamilton B. Ergler, the Hamburglar, who has upped his Patreon to a producer now. So they are joining the group that includes Aaron Figueroa, Mike Schubert, Steve Rogers, Kevin Frost, Mike D, Ryan Nager, Mike Dries, Chris Mikoski, John Kreitz, Sam Smith, Zach Rich, Class Sandfire, Jason Alva, Steven Bo, Dan McFall, Kevin Inkman, Mac Lindsay, Kurt Ritchie, Robert Dove, Andrew Teagle, Benjamin Bauman, Jeff Estes, Anthony Scafone, Taylor Logan, Sean Hoffman, and Hamilton B. Ergler, our Big Screen Sports Patreon group producers. Big thanks to them and all of our patrons for supporting this show, especially the folks who are nominating movies every month, voting on movies for the show to cover, giving us a North Star of what to talk about on this pod. Next month, we are doing something revolutionary where we're talking about all actual sports movies on the pod, patrons picking two of those. So if you want to have a part in that, you can go to patreon.com/bigscreensports to join up. Tell us what to cover. You'll get access when we do live watches in our Discord, some other things. So, and then you get my eternal gratitude for supporting the show. But yeah, we're wrapping up March with John Wick and then rolling to, we got a great half of April slate planned right now. And then the patron vote is looking like going to be two absolute heaters. So looking forward to that. With that, let's get right in. Me, Caroline Darney, talking John Wick. All right, returning to Big Screen Sports, my co-host from For the Water Cooler is Caroline Darney. Caroline, how are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I don't even need to ask you what's going on at For the Water Cooler because I was there, motherfucker.
You were there. We finally did it. You finally got me to watch.
We laid down the spirited debate of what is better, Mamma Mia or The Social Network. Two movies often coupled together. Similar themes. Aired.
Yep. Both about creating internet companies.
Yes. Completely. And I mean, I will say I thought it was a really successful movie swap because I enjoyed Mamma Mia and I enjoyed
Social Network. Yeah. And then I also then listened to the Mamma Mia combined soundtrack for the rest of the day. So everybody.
When Jacqueline was bathing our daughter, I think last night I came upstairs and she was listening to the Mamma Mia soundtrack.
Yeah. So, it's got some bangers on Here We Go Again, like some real kind of like it's a few more of the deep cuts on Dante and Dante classic.
I will have to check out Here We Go Again. I will not ignore Here We Go Again. It's on Netflix.
It's fun.
As well.
I think it's a very well done sequel. I've been on the record multiple times saying Lily James is an angel and an icon. She is a doll and a half and is delightful in everything she's in.
I get her confused. Who is the actress who is like her similar age, but you cannot stand? Who is that?
Oh, now I feel
the one from Bullet Train.
Oh, how dare you? Joey King?
Yeah, that's the one.
They look nothing alike.
I just... Yeah, you're not a fan of her. Not a fan of her. But no, I will watch Here We Go Again at some point. And eventually they'll make the Social Network sequel. You know, the Mama Social Network. America Dies in Darkness. Or Democracy Dies in Darkness. The Social Network.
The Social Network. Okay, that's our bad.
the Social Network. Maybe we shouldn't have let your parents on. So, Caroline, what is on next week's episode for The Water Cooler?
Oh, I don't know.
Great
content. We haven't set up yet. So well, TBD.
Surprise.
It'll be a surprise.
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 That's one of my favorite TikTok sounds. Surprise.
So good. It's funny how much those things have like really permeated my life. Because at the lacrosse game on Saturday, we were in College Park. They had, every school does this. This is not just at Maryland, but I always laugh when schools put their logos on the trash cans. Cause I feel like it's like asking to be memed. Like,
yes.
And so my friend that went with me to the game did the, like, just like I thought trash. but yeah, surprise. I don't know what we're going to have. So yeah, we had a fun episode this week chatting with you. That's out now. So as you're listening to this on Monday, that's one from Wednesday, and it'll be a fun surprise to see what we come up with for this coming Wednesday.
Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait to see. But something that I guess has come up is our Patreon group voted us in 3 bangers this month. Mm-hmm. They gave us Jurassic Park. They gave us Gladiator.
Thank you.
And they gave us the movie we're doing tonight, the Great Sport of Revenge, because we are talking about John Wick, the 2014 action thriller. An ex-hitman comes out of retirement to track down the gangsters who killed his dog and stole his car. Starred Keanu Reeves, Michael Nyqvist, and Alfie Allen, got an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, has spawned 3 sequels, has made a boatload of money. Caroline, is this a perfect revenge movie?
Yeah. Do we think the car matters at all to him?
No, not at all.
And
did you see that man's house? He's so wealthy.
Yeah, like, and stole this car. Like, no, he didn't do this because they stole a car. Like, that's,
yeah, it's really, I mean, and when he's having the conversation with Viggo, he only talks about the dog. He doesn't really care about the car. The car is like, John Wick is rich. We're going to talk about the real estate that man is working with. Like, being the world's best hitman seems to pay well.
It's just a really concise, like, tight, good movie. Like,
yes, 97 minutes.
And I think the most recent one is much longer than that. I feel like that was like an actual like 2 hours and some change, perhaps.
So
maybe.
I divulge to you that I've seen the first 3. I've not seen John Wick 4 yet. It is on the agenda. I've heard it as a masterpiece, but more like an epic. Whereas this is like, and this was a come out of nowhere hit, was a smash success. And it really truly is like a tight 2016 so or oh, 2014 wow. So this is a like very like tightly done action thriller that extremely simple concept, and like it was almost, I don't want to say like a joke at the time, but it was like he just like, some, they kill his dog and he just goes and kills everyone, but it's done really effectively. Like there's emotional weight to this movie that a movie, you know, that like a Jason Statham revenge movie or something wouldn't quite land. And I think that all hinges on Keanu, and like you feel the sadness, you know, over it. How it starts out is perfect. The situation with his wife and his wife passing away, him getting this dog, he explains that to Viggo, you know, at the end. But it's just like the perfect motivator. And then it gives us also the thing that we love in action movies, which is incredibly choreographed fight scenes.
Yeah.
And a ton of huge body count. And all that fun stuff. But it flies. Like, as soon as I mean, I will say for people, if you haven't rewatched this in a while, what did I text you? I think 1625 is the safe start point. If you don't want to deal with the dog dying, and when Alfie Allen pulls into John Leguizamo's garage with the car, and that's basically when this movie kicks off, and John Wick is kicking ass and taking names for the rest of the movie.
It's a cool like 80 minutes from that point on.
Yes.
I looked it up. Do you want to guess how long John Wick 4 is?
Oh man. So it's definitely like north of like 2 hours and 20 minutes. More?
2:49.
Ooh, buddy. That is some Lord of the Rings, the Return of the King shit.
So much ass kicking. He goes to several countries. And I think probably 45 minutes of that is him trying to get up to Sacré-Cœur in Paris and going down the steps.
That's the cool thing about this movie, and like, not to defame the others, they've all gotten great reviews. I've loved the first three, and I can't wait. I need to make an appointment to see the fourth. But this one is, in terms of like, it's a tight 97 minutes, but it's also tightly constructed. This John, like, this was in the trivia, but you kind of think about it. John's rampage is about 48 hours, and it's a couple locations. Like, we're going to the hotel, we're going to the nightclub, we're going to the church, and then we're going to the stash house in Brooklyn, and then we're meeting Viggo on that bridge.
Yeah.
And it's like, boom, 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 boom. We've got these
things
to
do.
We've got these distinct set pieces, all a little different vibe of what John is doing, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't stop. Like, it is just legitimately such a fun movie, but also with this emotional weight, where I think in movies with really high body counts and with all this action, you kind of get caught up in like, oh yeah, just like, it's just a, you know, random, you know, bunch of bullets flying, like a shoot 'em up kind of thing. And this is a movie where you feel John Wick's pain throughout this whole movie. And that's really important as to why this works. Like, at its core, this is about a dog guy and a wife guy who was wronged, and he's setting things right.
Yeah. I think and I don't mean this is a huge knock on the sequels, but you get just enough of a taste of this world in this one that you don't need full, you don't feel like you've lost out on world building. You don't feel like there's information missing. You get the idea of like the continental, you get idea of like there's rules and like the different phrases and the, you know, make a reservation for 12 is 12 bodies to clean up, like, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think there are points in 2 through 4 where that stuff gets a little bit convoluted about like the high table and who everyone is and getting excommunicated and like all this stuff that you're just kind of like, can we just go back to John Wick's just going to beat the crap out of a ton of people. Like, so, and that's, I really enjoyed 2 through 4. I will watch as many John Wick movies as they decide to make. But there's something, pure feels like the wrong word to use. Like, murder.
I get what you mean though.
It's very distilled, like, you know.
Keeps it real simple.
It's a kick ass.
Sometimes real simple is nice.
Yeah, that's it. And it's great.
Do you agree this is a Hall of Fame sports movie, Hall of Fame revenge movie?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a Hall of Fame, well, like, if we say like fight movie, like, where do we put some of the other?
I think in terms of like action thriller or kind of a shoot 'em up movie in this similar style, like, I'd have a hard time finding a bunch of stuff I'd rather watch.
Yeah, same.
So I'm
sure there's a bunch of like really good, like, my dad would put like Ip Man in there, you know, like, have we talked about Ip Man? How my dad is like finally keeping it on Netflix, I think.
We have not. Is that like me keeping The Day After Tomorrow on FX?
Yes, essentially. Yeah. So it's Donnie Yen in it. And he just beats up a bunch of people. It's great. He's incredible.
Good for him.
Yeah. Donnie Yen is incredible.
That's our guy from Rogue One, right?
Yes. Yeah. Mm. And there's a scene where he like fights a bunch of people at a prison, and when you say like jump back in where you were type thing, it's like almost always like queued up like one spot, and everyone's trying to look at me. Oh, you watching Ip Man again? He's like, yeah, I'm watching Ip Man. And there's like seven of those. So anyway, but yeah, it's a this movie's great. I love it.
Yeah, it's got a really fun IMDb trivia. I pulled quite a few, could have pulled way more.
Donnie is in the fourth one. I'm sorry. I thought so. He's in
Oh,
John.
wow.
Yeah. I thought so. I thought I was losing my mind.
Worlds Collide.
World's
Worlds
Collide.
Collide.
Yeah.
Director Chad Stahelski was Keanu Reeves' stunt double in The Matrix.
Really?
How about that?
There you go.
Networking, kids, it's important.
Yes. That's cool.
This is a fun one, just about like the mechanics of the movie or the mechanics of the story. In an interview with Rudy's Movie Reviews, Kevin Nash stated he was told the reason his character, Francis the Bouncer, was allowed to live. Nash said that when Wick mentions he lost some weight and Francis said he had lost 20 kilograms, Wick was asking in code how many hostiles were in the building. Francis's reply was 20. Because he provided the information to Wick, he was allowed to live. I just thought John Wick was being a nice guy to a friend.
He was like, "You look good." Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't
Yeah,
mean to do that.
I did not catch that. This is interesting. So in the original script, the character of John Wick was written with a man in his mid-60s to play the role. Given the title character's fabled reputation, ergo, the filmmakers initially imagined an older actor.
So, like, you're telling me it was Liam
So Liam Neeson would have made perfect sense.
Neeson?
Schwarzenegger in the 90s, like maybe probably in the 2000s, would have made sense for that. Like in the
Yeah.
80s, this is like a this is a and that's the thing about Keanu as an action star. If this is made in the 90s or this is made in the 80s, this is a dude who is on steroids, is muscled out of his mind. I think part of what makes this movie so good is Keanu is so unassuming. He's tall, he certainly has physical presence, like we've seen him do, you know, action movies before very well, but he's not. I think it's so cool that he is like this hit the guy you send to kill the boogeyman when he doesn't look like Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger or this killing machine. He's just kind of like he's Keanu Reeves, man. He's like a tall, skinny guy with some physical presence, but he can absolutely get down in this movie.
Yeah, he's so interesting to me, just as a person in general.
Yeah.
But
He seems lovely.
he said, I mean, is it in the trivia how many words he says? It has to be like fewer than 200 words he says
It's
in the
very minimal, but
like
everything he says has impact.
meaning. It has meaning to
Yeah.
it. Yeah, he's just so like this was the start of the not start of the Keanu cool guy phase, but you know what I mean, like
He had that rep of even like there was like mockery associated with him because of the Matrix, like the whoa, I know Kung Fu, like
yeah.
that whole thing. And I think that kind of, especially with the two Matrix sequels not being thought of as highly, it kind of got lumped into, oh, he's this kind of wooden guy, he says whoa all the time. And I think this brought like put some respect back on his name.
Yeah, that's kind of what I mean. Like, so let's see, this is 26, 2014. Here it is. Oh gosh, this stuff before it isn't. So he was in the Lake House is like the only thing I recognize the name of in 2006. So he hadn't been doing a ton of stuff. 47 Ronin, maybe? I don't know. I don't even know what these things are. And so it kind of was, you know, he had Constantine in 2005, the Lake House in a rom like a romance movie.
That's Hilary Swank, right? Isn't that the one where like he's bought her lake house or she's bought his lake house and
I
they're
think,
years
yeah, I think it's
apart,
like a
but they're
time travel.
communicating
It's
by mail?
Sandra Bullock again.
Oh, okay. We like her. I think that'd be Jacqueline's department. I think she has seen the lake house.
Yeah, so like he did Matrix and stuff in 2003, and then you know before that he had been in all the whoa, bro, like type stuff.
Whoa.
Whoa. And then did you ever see The Devil's Advocate?
Oh, yeah. You tell me when. That
What
movie is fucked up.
the? Just a wild movie.
Does Al go
Literally,
back to
like,
back Heat and Devil's Advocate?
it's just a weird career. honestly. Yeah.
But you take, if you said I could take his filmography if I'm stranded on a desert island,
yeah,
it's a pretty good filmography to take with you.
Dude,
if you're getting Point Break, you're getting Speed.
I would be stoked if you just gave me Speed. I love Speed.
But if you get Point Break, if you get Speed, if you get these four movies, if you get the Matrix movies, you know, you technically you get Toy Story 4, which I didn't love, but his little cameo is great in it.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow, he was a voice in the SpongeBob movie.
Oh, great. Bring that along
good,
too.
Good for him. Yeah.
Yeah, I just
he's an interesting dude.
It's just a wild journey, but I think this really was the thing. So he also had right after this, or right after one of the Wicks, he did the cameo in Always Be My Maybe.
Yes.
As himself. And that was such a huge, like, cultural moment. I can't think of a better word than that, but like,
no, but it was like it
everywhere,
was...
and everyone's kind of like, dude, Keanu, like, and Keanu was, we talked when we did the Speed episode. Mm-hmm. Babe and a half in Speed, like, and so
the hottest hungover guy on the planet.
On the planet, that whole vibe for him was 10 out of 10. No notes. The white t-shirt and the vest, the bulletproof vest, love it. No notes. No, zero notes. But it's not like the Neo look is not really like my thing. But now he's coming back.
I don't know whose thing that is.
Yeah, I don't know either. We were like, look how cool. Basically, it just looks like a fun hang, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
And I love this resurgence for him. And this movie is just so.
Looking at what these movies made kind of speaks to how highly these have one brought him back and how much prestige is just heaped on the series. So the first one makes $43 million, but like comes out of nowhere. The second one makes $92 million. And I think this is all domestic. The third one makes $171 million. And then the fourth one has made $187 million.
Yeah.
And I bet he's getting points on that.
Yeah. Like, well, good he probably him, needed man. All of those dollars to like get into a cryo chamber to recover from, again, the scene just trying to get up to Sacred Fjord. Is like,
he said he did 90% of his own stunt work in this one. So I'm assuming he kept a lot of that up.
I don't know, man. He takes a beating in the new one, like a real, but yeah.
Which,
anyway,
which is wild because it's not like he skates free in this one.
No, not at all.
Certainly, which we'll talk about. I think it's effective. Yeah. You want to guess the body count in this movie?
Ooh, I'm gonna go
it's,
like.
I think it's gonna be lower than you think.
I'm gonna go like low 70s.
72. That's pretty good, Caroline. That's pretty good.
I want to be like 150. And I was like, no, he didn't go like, there weren't that many people each place. So I got to
So it's funny in the trivia, there was like a couple of like referencing, oh, John Wick kills this many people, or Keanu Reeves and the director have been referenced saying it's 84. But this one was body count, parentheses, thoroughly checked, 72.
Okay.
Or 72 by John Wick, excuse me. Plus at least one more in the car that falls in the finale and 9 by other characters.
Okay.
So 72 by John Wick. Quality work by our guy.
Yeah. High efficiency.
The building facade used in the Continental Sanctuary is the same one used in the stock exchange scene in The Dark Knight Rises. Which features...
Glenn. Soaked my vein.
Got one casting one.
Okay.
Producer Derek Kolstad originally wanted Johnny Depp for the role of John Wick.
Stop. What is wrong with these people?
This movie would have sucked.
Awful.
Would have sucked.
Zero follow-up movies if he's in this.
I truly think the movie makes half as much money, maybe a quarter. It's not nearly as well thought of that. Cause two, that's like, that's not his vibe. Like you couldn't, the physical nature we were talking about with Keanu, Johnny Depp doesn't have any of that.
No,
that's never been even at his best, even if like their role, like I think the first Pirates of the Caribbean is one of my favorite movies. I think he's incredible.
Yeah, and he runs like this the whole time.
Yes, exactly. You can't be, John Wick can't be neurotic. And that's what all of his characters are weird and neurotic.
To be John Wick. too many accessories to be John Wick.
Too many rings.
Too many things behind.
Yeah. Yeah. Chad Stahelski and David Leitch were concerned about how the audience would react to all of the death within the film, especially the puppy. So when casting the character of Yosef, they wanted someone who looked like a complete prick. Consequently, they met Alfie Allen and thought he was perfect for the role, and also a very nice person.
I'm sure he's lovely. He has complete asshole face.
I mean, in at this time, he's in the middle of Game of Thrones,
yes,
where he's playing a huge prick.
Huge prick, yeah.
Do you know who his sister is?
Yes, it's Lily Allen, the singer.
Lily Allen, So, their Thanksgivings would be really fun.
So fun. Yeah,
you got Alfie Allen there telling Game of Thrones and John Wick stories. You got David Harbour being David Harbour. It seems like
Lily Allen just singing. It'd be lovely. Yeah.
Seems like a fantastic, fantastic time. Let's take a quick ad break, and we're going to get back with what worked.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, so what worked about this movie, Caroline? Why do we revere it so?
Well, this might be controversial. It also plays into what doesn't work. But the motivation.
Yes, it's the perfect revenge.
It works. Because
I got it before I had a dog. I really get it now.
I've seen a couple stand-up comedian knew that, where he was like, I remember I saw John Wick, didn't have a dog, was like, okay, great movie, but this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Come on. He's like, then I got a dog. I got a puppy. And let me tell you what. And it's just like, it's that feeling of like, if anything ever happened to your pet, you just like completely lose your shit. Especially, and that ties into, and why I say it doesn't work is just, it's so true. And this, again, I understand how it sounds to be talking about a movie in which 72 people are killed on screen by this person. And you're like, it's a bridge too far to kill that puppy.
It's a puppy. Two, a puppy. The death of the puppy is actually legitimately traumatic. Like, you hear a sound. It's deeply upsetting.
Yeah, that's can't. That's the thing where I'm like, doesn't work. I literally will never watch that again. Like, I will skip that part of the movie. If I want to watch John Wick, I will skip that part of the movie.
I did that on my rewatch. Did not watch it. But it also makes you fine with everything he does and everyone he kills. You are like, cool, man, you do you. And he explains it to Vic, but it's like, if the movie was, I don't want to say like less serious, but if the movie was, it would have been like, the fact that they took this dog and this relationship and they built it up in the first 15 minutes of his wife dying and like this puppy shows up and it like gives him healing. It helps him heal. Yeah. And he explains to Viggo, this is the final gift from his wife. And he was now, I can't remember what the direct quote is, but it's like, I should have written it down.
You didn't have to heal alone
didn't have to heal alone. I suddenly didn't have to grieve alone. Yeah. And I'll play it right here.
When Ellen died, I lost everything. Until that dog arrived on my doorstep. A final gift from my wife. In that moment, I received some semblance of hope. An opportunity to grieve unalone. And your son took that from me.
Hakon.
Stole that from me. Killed that from me! People keep asking if I'm back.
and I haven't really had an answer. But now, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back. So you can either hand over your son, or you can die screaming alongside him!
That whole thing is so... You know, it could have been taken less seriously, and instead it's truly an emotional weight, and that makes you justify every little thing he does. And I'm totally fine with it. And if he could have killed more people, I would have been fine with it too. Anyone involved.
Well, and that goes into, it's such an interesting premise for a revenge movie. And just because, like, okay, he kills his dog, but it's the idiot son, fail son of the like mob guy.
Yes.
Just pick the absolute wrong person.
This is kind of in fail son month.
Absolute, yeah. Fix the absolute worst thing to do to this worst person to do it to. And there's like, it's just such an incredible series of scenes in which people realize what is happening and who.
Yes.
And it works so well. Like when you have the... What is it, Viggo? He calls John Leguizamo. Is like, he's like, why'd you put like push around my son? Why'd you beat up my son? And he just says like two things. He's like, ah,
yeah, oh,
oh,
like not to get into best scene, but that like honestly might be my favorite. Is when the guy realizes like right away that he's like, oh my god, we unleashed the boogeyman, and
he tries to call him, like, listen. It was a big mistake on our part. He's like, I'm coming to get you. Like,
so John was only out of the game for like just over 5 years, I think is what he tells that bartender.
Yeah.
Viggo never once mentioned to his son, like, because he says what John Wick did that night when he, you know, did the whatever, like the impossible task he did, like the bodies he buried that night laid the foundation for what we have now. You never mention that to your son who works for you. Like, not once of like, you haven't once said anything about the legendary hitman, John Wick. That didn't come. It doesn't seem like these two talked much. Like, I don't think this was a great father son relationship, especially because he gives his ass up at the end. But it seems like something that would have come up in conversation. At least
I feel like he probably did mention it in Idiot Sandwich.
Just didn't
put it together. Like, just obviously the fight scenes work. There's something about the way that they do, the way that they film all of it. And this is the thing that they truly get more and more skilled at as the series goes on, especially like we already talked about with number four, is like, I don't know if you've seen the stills of like the kind of pinkish background, like when he's in Japan. It's
I've seen the marketing material.
Yeah. Like, there is no reason for John Wick 4 to go that hard when it comes to like the cinematography. And so I really, really like, there's one when I realized watching this that there are so many great scenes, like fight scenes type thing, that happen in a crowded club.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just such a cool dynamic where, especially when it's like so loud and things are happening and like the people around don't know necessarily that like there's a fight happening around them. I want to say that they'd use this in the most recent James Bond briefly, maybe with Ana de Armas. Was that one? Maybe I'm making that up, but there is one with the most recent Mission Impossible has kind of a similar like fight in a club thing. Let me see if I can remember some of the other ones, but it's just
Man on Fire. There's a scene like that where Denzel's walking through a club, but it makes for a good action point.
Yes.
And it's choreographed so well.
There's one where like when the blood hits the glass and it's like the body and the blood hit the, and it's the music and the club and all this stuff, and there's the guards are trying to figure out what's happening, and it's kind of like it's a really cool like effect and way to do like these big fight pieces and stuff.
Yeah. And John is so good at his job. Like, it's important. Something I noticed about this is he's almost always taking headshots. Like, it's always, it's like someone who is a hitman who is like, I can't take chances that this person's going to staunch their bleeding and live. It's always like double tap headshots, but he's also not infallible. He feels pain. It's not like he just tears through everyone. he gets stabbed. He's also has like emotional weight. Like, he's not a cyborg. It's a really well-crafted character for someone who doesn't say many words. And it's a great lead. It's a great action thriller lead. Just perfect character.
Absolutely. I also think that the cast like totally works. Like you said, Alfie Allen, very hateable. I always forget like Willem Dafoe just rolls up. And
I forgot it too. And I'm like, oh man, there he is. Love seeing it.
So great. What is her name from Friday Night Lights? Who's Jenkins? I think her name is the woman who he fights in the film.
That is, her name is Adrienne Palicki?
Miss Perkins? Yeah. Perkins.
The Allstate Mayhem guy?
Stop, did I do that again? I just called her Jenkins. And this is extra funny because you know the restaurant Perkins? Have you heard of these?
No.
Oh?
Unfamiliar.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I'm like, am I messing up the name again?
Hold on. I've never.
Yeah, Perkins Restaurant and Bakery. So I have been to Omaha one time when Virginia went 2 years ago. And good friend Clinton Yates is a huge college baseball fan, ESPN guy. He's been there.
He's the best.
Yes, and I stayed.
The best. Man, shame on you, Caroline. This delicious baked goods on this restaurant's.
So I stayed at the Media Hotel, which was technically not in the part across the river, but there's that little cutout of Iowa that's in Nebraska that's just like just outside. So literally not across the river, but there's this little like carve out thing. And there's nothing. It's only about a mile and a half or 2 miles from TD Ameritrade Stadium, but it's legitimately a four lane highway. So 2 lanes each way. Highway is a strong term for it. There's no sidewalk. So you couldn't walk it if you wanted to. You'd be walking in like the grass, like all that stuff on the side of the road in Nebraska into Iowa. Just real weird real weird setup.
Weird vibes.
So there's nothing in this parking lot at this, like, it's one of the like extended stay type motel or hotels too.
Mm-hmm.
But in the parking lot of this media hotel was a Perkins. I'd never heard of Perkins. I'd never been to Perkins, but they do breakfast 24 hours. And it's kind of like what is the word where he says like, say shenanigans again and I'll pistol whip you. I think it's shenanigans. It's that type of vibe. Like, and it was open late. And so like, I ate there so many meals because it was so close and it was good. And like their like breakfast were really good. And like you said, they have baked goods. And like
I'm sold. I'm all in. If I come across,
because I was talking to Clinton and I was like, well, I think I'm just going to go to Jenkins. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, Jenks. And he was like, Perkins. And so the rest of the time we called it Jenks. It was just Jenkins. And I literally just called her Jenkins. And her name was Perkins. And I can't believe this is like, there's something in my brain that automatically switches these two words. And I can't. Anyway, now I want Jenks. She was great. I did not like that she killed my good friend. What's his name? Lester from The Wire.
Yeah, that was bad.
I love her.
Harry, the fuck are you doing though, dude?
Yeah.
Bad at your job.
He was not great at that. And
bad at your job. But the whole cast, Leguizamo, Ian
Lance
McShane.
Reddick again.
Yes, RIP Lance Reddick.
I love him so much. He's
wonderful.
His voice, I could listen to him like all day. Like, mm-hmm. he died. Love him. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, our villain, RIP, Michael Nyquist. But he's great. Viggo, yeah. good Russian mobster. Caroline, you know what works about this movie?
What?
Me and John Wick have the same coffee maker. Huge. I don't know this for sure, but I saw it from the side angle. Looks very similar. It is the one I bought that has coffee pot on the left, espresso maker on the right, which I purchased the day we got back from Italy because I was like, I live this life now. I drink espresso all the time.
How often do you use it?
Very little. Sometimes, though, I've made like espresso martinis with fresh pulled espresso, which is nice. It's not a non-zero time using it. Like, it's not one of those things that you buy and you never use. Like, I have used it, certainly used the coffee pot more.
Yeah, I just have a regular old drip coffee pot and I make that every morning and I have 2 to 3 cups of coffee every day.
I mean, same. Yeah, that's I don't know how people function without doing that. You mentioned this earlier, but them immersing us in this world without also like spelling it out for us, like, you know, this is how the hotel works, like this is how the collective works and everything like that. Like, we kind of get it. They're using this currency. He's got, you know, the cleanup, you know, the cleanup crew that's specifically for this, you know, the hotel, the way people go about things without, especially in like the second one, because the second one is when they bring in the high table. And then there's also that one person who's like above the high table. I can't remember if that's the third one, but it's very, like, I got to get to them. Yeah. And so this keeps it very simple. Yeah. It's very like, there's this hotel specifically for underworld stuff, for people in the underworld. They have the doctor on site, all that stuff. Like, I really enjoyed that aspect of like, they put us in this little world.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'd like to stay there.
Oh, it seems like a very nice hotel. And like, you shouldn't, nothing bad should happen to you there. Unless Perkins is out there causing trouble.
I feel like I would be in a very good situation if I was staying there. Just be like a nice little quiet night. No one bothers you.
I was going to ask you, what if you get on like hotwire.com and you're like, oh, 4-star hotel in downtown in New York City. Like, for only, it's only like $79. What? Sure. And you get in there and it's like, everyone's like in fresh press suits. People are carrying things that look very suspiciously like gun cases. You're just like, what the fuck? You're like, is there breakfast?
Yeah. do you have included breakfast?
Like, you're standing in line and John Wick rolls up and asks if the doctor is in. You're like, what?
Why is that guy so bloody? Oh god. I also really like, this is my, I think maybe my dad's favorite part, maybe not favorite part, but he always gets a real chuckle out of this. After John dispatches all of the people that come to his house, and the doorbell rings, the cop is you going back, you back to work, John?
He's, you like, working again?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's just so good. It's just, I love it.
His house is beautiful. Shame on those guys who broke in both times to ruin John Wick's house. Beautiful. Yeah. Like, you know, it's good to be the world's best hitman financially.
Seriously.
And that's the thing when, at first, the first time you watch this, when Willem Dafoe, when it seems like he's going to take this $2 million hit on John, you're like looking at his house. You're like, what do you need $2 million for? Look at your house. Look at all the wood. Look at all the built-ins. Like, I don't understand. But Scotty Scheffler had some good quotes about that with Live Golf. And it's like, you're always like, it's human nature to just want more. But I'm very glad that Willem Dafoe turned that down. Caroline, can I bring back a category from our Jurassic Park episode?
Uh-oh.
The Eaten by a Dinosaur in the Shitter Award for Worst Death.
Ooh.
We've got a couple nominees.
Yeah.
The guy who is drowned / has his neck broken in sink water.
Yeah.
Did you recognize that fellow?
No.
He's in the Pacific. He's one of the officers. He's in, and then he is also in the Netflix Daredevil series. His name, Toby Leonard Moore. But he is like Kingpin's assistant or like finance guy in the Daredevil series. And then he's one of the officers in the Pacific. But he gets it bad. Then right after that, the man who is stabbed and then shot to death while wearing a Speedo. That's a tough go.
That was tough stuff.
The mayhem guy gets basically smashed by a car, like his head like through the window. That's a tough way to go. And then Viggo gets stabbed in the neck and you presume bleeding out, but
I gotta tell you, I don't particularly want to get stabbed.
That's the thing. And John lets a lot of these guys off easy by just shooting them in the face, which
means
you're gonna have a closed casket funeral, means that your death is very quick and painless.
I'm on the fence with the Speedo guy because I think he didn't feel a lot of that till the last second, but that seemed very uncomfortable.
Deeply.
I also a trope in these types of movies where anytime the like hero, in this case, like yes, our hero is killing a lot of people, comes up against just a giant human. Like, yes. I love that type where he's just like thinks that he's, you know, like beating, winning, like all this stuff. And then he's just like continuously like, this is doing nothing. I do like that trope. I'm going to go with him. I think that's probably a not fun because I think he fell into the like pool too.
He did.
Because then he got to clean all that up. It's just.
Yeah. Tough. It's the toughest day for the custodial crew at that club.
The custodial crew at that club had a real, real tough day.
Real bad time, which we'll get into. Yeah. Does anything not work about this movie?
Like you said, I think our guy Harry's not a great hitman. He's not really paying attention.
That is really the only thing I had. I had that. And then John screaming bloody murder at Viggo about like that he's going to kill him as Viggo walks away and he's getting the bag put over his head. Not really sure John had a plan outside of that. Like if Willem Dafoe isn't out there covering for his ass, I think the movie's over and John is suffocated with that bag.
Yeah, probably. But he doesn't need a plan. He's got Willem.
He does have
Oh, Willem. Yeah. No, I think pretty well. Yeah, they cover it.
This one is sharp. Best scene. I already said like the, you know, he stole John Wick's car, sir, and killed his dog. Like, and then Viggo, oh.
Aurelio speaking.
I heard you struck my son.
Yes, sir, I did.
Yeah, may I ask why?
Yeah, well, because he stole John Wick's car, sir, and, killed his dog.
Oh.
That kind of goes into, I would say that whole sequence is, because it goes from that to Viggo then telling Alfie Allen who John Wick is. Like, once saw him kill three men with bar with a pencil. A fucking pencil. Like,
he does the, like, pretend thing to the...
Yeah.
To-
That reminded me, that's like, you're familiar with the Bill Brasky SNL sketch?
Yes.
From the 90s, Bill Brasky. That the killing three men with a pencil reminded me of the Bill Brasky SNL sketch. He killed three men with a pencil in a bar.
I love that scene. Honestly,
then,
I love
it. Then jumps into like
anytime
the sequences.
Anytime anyone is like telling Alfie Allen he made a horrible choice, love it.
Yeah.
I really like the fight in the club.
Yeah, John rolling up to the club, many, many murders.
And I really like the car sequence when he's ramming their car.
Yes.
That's one of the funnier moments, I think, of the movie. Where because when Viggo is like, oh, that was a good one, like whatever.
It's interesting how different all of them are, because he rolls up to the club and it's like, this is a one, he's got to blow through all these people to get to Alfie Allen. Like, that's a single mission. And then it's him going to the church and it's like, I need to hit Viggo where it hurts. Like, I need to draw him out by blowing up all this money, which is real, like the Joker shit. And then the outside the church is a much more just like frontal assault. Like John, you know, John has his machine gun and he's just trying to take guys out, which also like John Wick, the greatest assassin in the world, doesn't see that SUV coming. Like he gets snuck up on by a fucking Tahoe.
Yeah. There, I will say like, and I'll write this off for, you know, like I probably wouldn't be on top of my game if I was distraught about my dog.
It's true.
There were a few times where like, and it works. It doesn't fall under what doesn't work for me. Because it's, I think, intentional, because he can't have 100% hit rate on everybody, because
it would
otherwise
make the movie boring.
Yes. And so like, it's one of the things, like when Alfie's running from him in the club and he's like hitting each like pane of glass, I'm like, realistically, I would expect him to not need that many shots to lead this man running at a certain pace. But for the story and for the visuals of like hitting each pane of glass, it's like very cool. So like whatever. So, but yeah, I agree. Like there's a few times where I think he's just grief stricken.
Were you disappointed at all that Alfie Allen didn't die like a more brutal death? He gets like shot in the hip and then directly in the head. Like John, very down to business. Like didn't torture him.
Yeah. There's a, like, do you remember the Game of Thrones when, who was, what's his name that finally got it? The guy that tortured Theon.
Ramsay. With the dogs. Tough. That was one of those. Tough way to go, brother.
Yeah. Really, man, when Game of Thrones was cooking, they were cooking. Because they got you, they would get you so out of, like, your personality when it came to, like, I hope this person suffers so bad. Like, same thing with Joffrey, same thing with, like, you know, Ramsay. I like he didn't, yeah, it definitely wasn't like a Theon or Ramsay type death, you know, like where he like really drew it out. I think he just wanted, that's where the business like part was. He
yeah,
just
that's the thing. Viggo calls him, is like, thanks for giving my son like a quick, clean death or whatever. And then, and then they do Willem dirty, which is a bummer. What is the club your favorite scene?
I actually think my favorite scene is when he does the like, oh,
yeah, but, that's mine too. Like that, it's funny. Like, yeah. My favorite scene involves no violence, just oh, and then going into the story of like he's not the boogeyman; he's who you send to kill the fucking boogeyman.
Yeah, I love it.
Which
yeah,
is no, kind I think... of like the best quote too.
Yeah.
There's that, and then there's the speech he gives to Viggo while he's tied up, and that gives us the meme. Like, but yeah, now I'm thinking I'm back.
Thinking I'm back,
which
yeah.
is like a great gambling meme. Like
it's also like a great like puke and rally meme.
Oh, incredible puke and rally meme.
If you like, or if you've been, you know, drinking during the day, take a nap after, and come after dinner.
Yeah, that's me after disappearing to a bathroom at a party for 30 minutes. Like, yeah, I'm coming back
yeah,
with bloodshot,
I'm back.
Bloodshot eyes. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't think it's a super highly quotable movie.
No, it's not. Well, I mean, our main character doesn't talk much.
Yeah. It's not super quippy. Like, yeah.
I think it's the boogeyman line because that's incredible. And that's like, if you're Viggo, like, obviously you've made some missteps with your son. You guys are not seeing eye to eye. He is definitely like he's a fail son. He's a fucking idiot. But if you have someone in your life and in your business who is the person that you send to kill the fucking boogeyman and your son works in your business, you should
let him know.
Because again, like the guys guarding him, like one of the guys, the guy in the club is like, you should be scared of this guy. Like you should, you know, whatever. Like he's a known entity. It's not like he's some ghost. And failure of communication that really, really cost that family dearly.
Yeah, agreed.
The Lenny Harris Pinch Hitter Award for Best Supporting Character. You could argue there's only two people in it too much. Obviously Keanu, and then I would say Viggo is in it too much.
Yeah.
You could say anyone else. Even even Defoe, he's in the funeral when he comes to see John. That's only a few lines. He saves him from being killed by Perkins.
Yep.
Yeah. So I mean him, Lance
I'm
Reddick.
I think I'm going Lance Reddick.
He's good. The front desk guy. Seeing the Allstate Mayhem guy is jarring. There's a legitimate chance I have seen him on a screen more than anyone else in this movie, like more than Keanu. Like, have I seen more Mayhem
like
commercials?
Hours of your life? Yeah.
Have I seen more Mayhem commercials than Keanu movies? I think it might be that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going Lance Reddick.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a category I think we're going to avoid. Defend the villain.
No.
Indefensible. Fuck him.
Fuck that guy.
Absolutely
not. Like every other time we're like, well, you know.
Well, yeah. It's like, no.
You
not
killed
this.
A puppy, you
killed
monster.
A puppy and bragged about it to John Leguizamo.
Yeah, no.
I just, I go back to it. I love that part so much because as soon as he sees the car, he's like, he knows.
Like, what did you do?
And that's the first, because we don't really, the movie starts and like we get like the flash forward. It's like him bleeding. He's watching that video of his wife. And then it kind of cuts to like him, you know, their romance and her dying and whatever. But this is our first indication. You go into the movie kind of knowing that he's some sort of dude, but this is our first indication. Like, I just love the reputation John carries. I don't know why. I feel like a sense of pride every time someone's like, God, John Wick's just the best hitman. But it's like, you fucked up. So like John Leguizamo knows right away you fucked up. When he's like, did you kill him? And he's like, no, we should have, you know, we certainly, we fucked up his dog or whatever. And it's like, John Leguizamo knows, like, you're a dead
like
man.
You're toast. You're done. Man. Yeah.
Caroline, the Peter Gallagher Award for the hottest person in this movie.
It's not a super hot movie, guys.
Not the hottest.
No. This one's tough.
Keanu's north of 50 in this, I think.
Yeah, he looks.
The hair's not great. It's not what you're looking for.
It's certainly not Alfie.
No. Do you think that guy is like permanently kind of screwed for the characters he can play?
Yeah.
Between Theon and this, like, he's just, that's all I'm going to see.
Like, it's, again, it's the, some folks have the, like, you know, the iPad face, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's just got, like, asshole.
Yeah.
Written all over.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're not going to, and he's, like, he's not ugly. Like, no. They're just never going to cut, like, they're never going to cast him for, like, a rom-com. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I wonder what he's been up to.
This might be, yeah, well, should we call Ryan? It's not that controversial. Mayhem's not ugly. He's a good looking guy.
Yeah, Mayhem's not a bad looking guy.
Yeah.
Get all state. His wife, Bridget Moynihan.
Oh, she's gorgeous. Yeah, let's go with Bridget. She's beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's.
And usually I think Pilecki, whatever, is, but her like aesthetic in this is not her best look because it's intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So heavy eye makeup and then, you know, whatever. Yeah, let's go Bridget Moynihan. I like her. She's pretty.
Yeah. Alfie Allen was in Jojo Rabbit, where he played a seemingly a closeted Nazi.
Yeah.
He's in it's kinda slim. He's been doing some TV.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, doing a show called Rogue Heroes in 2022. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out for him. We'll see. Best time, worst time.
Oof.
Speaking of Alfie Allen. Probably the worst time because he is the character who's afraid the longest in this movie.
Yeah.
Because from the second John shows up at the club, he spends the rest of his life, like 24 hours, just shitting bricks.
Who? Does Lance Reddick have the best time?
I think he really likes his job, which, like, yeah. There's a lot of value in that. Liking
your
job.
You know who else enjoys your job? The dinner reservations guy.
Yes.
He probably had the best time.
Had a fucking fantastic time.
He was like bodies everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Business was booming for him. Like, I mean, he had to call his Saran wrap guy. Yeah, hey, I'm going to need more of this. We're running out.
I think like
Vigo has a terrible time.
John has a terrible time.
Although we haven't talked about it.
He got a
goes
new
home
dog.
With a new puppy.
And he saves the doggy's life. Because at first I was like, does he just take someone's dog?
I didn't pause it. Yeah, it was gonna be euthanized, right? That dog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's and the way it looked at him was a little sweet potato.
When I thought that too, like when I saw like the dog was gonna be euthanized, I was like, John, open all those cages. Just let him go.
Let him go
into the night.
Not a lot of great times are being had.
No.
By
Perkins has a bad time. Perkins thinks she's having a good time until she's having a bad time.
He does not have a good time.
Does not have a good Willem Dafoe ends up having Willem Dafoe ends up having a terrible time.
Terrible time.
That's a tough that should have been a worse death. That was a tough way to go out. Because especially when they stab him, I believe he's cutting the femoral artery. Like that's his plan of like I'm just gonna bleed you out. So yeah. That's tough. I think it's got to be Lance Reddick. I think like he's just enjoying his job. You know, Everyone who dies has a terrible time, which is most of the
helping people is doing customer service.
Yeah. The employees of the church that is a front, a mob front, Even the ones that get out probably have a bad time. It's traumatic. The puppers. You know what? The new dog, the John Wick's new dog that he rescues. Good time.
It's a little baby potato.
I know. It's a, very, it's a beautiful dog. Like gorgeous coat. Yes. Like, yeah, beautiful dog.
A little look on her. Yeah. She's a little house seal.
Just and he's in, what does he say? Like, let's go home. I have something on that here in a few categories, but the Keith Morrison Dateline Award.
Oh man, this...
Keith would be fucking aroused when hearing this story.
Murder. It started with a home invasion and the brutal death of a small beloved puppy. But did they mess with the wrong man? What would be the fate of this failed son and his father? How many bodies would be left in the wake of John Wick? And who was he really? Tonight on Dateline.
Do you like murder? How 72 of them?
We have murder. And it's actually okay in this one.
It's fine. We're good. We're rooting for the murder.
Yes. And sometimes you're like, is it enough murder? I just did an episode. I realized that I've started, like, I'll be listening to a Dateline episode. And if it's a Keith Morrison one, and he's like, but then they wondered, would it get more terrifying? And then I laugh, and I'm like, I shouldn't laugh. Like, this is like a bad story. He's like, they found out it would be, the result was murder. And I laugh because anytime he says murder, I laugh. And it's like, that's not good.
Yeah. That's tough. Especially like if you're like listening to something and you laugh and someone sees you and they're like, what are you listening to? Oh, Dateline.
No, definitely not Dateline. Hey, they threw me for a loop on the most recent episode. I was ready. I was bought in. I was like, clearly it was the husband. It wasn't the husband.
Ooh.
It was the husband's mom.
Ooh, a little mother-in-law.
Yeah. Actually. Terrible. She sounded like a real piece of work, and she put on a disguise so that they thought it was a man. So she had a little fake wig and mustache.
Ooh, she getting a little tricky.
A little tricky.
Yeah.
I was listening and I was like, come on, don't mess with me with Dateline. It's always, have they talked to the ex? And they did, and he didn't do it this time. I was shocked.
Surprise. Surprise.
I still laugh at that tweet though, where the woman's like, someone on Twitter was like, you want me to get a husband? The thing that killed all those people on Dateline.
Okay, roster moves. Which character would you swap out as Air Bud?
Well, real limited on this.
Real limited. Because
real limited.
I mean, if Air Bud is the front desk guy.
I was going to say front desk, or again, the cleaning guy.
What if it's four golden retrievers and they're showing they're nuzzling bodies with their nose and just like rolling them? They're just dragging the bodies out with their feet or by their feet.
Tails are wagging.
He could be Ian McShane when he tells Perkins that she's going to die. Or that her membership has been revoked.
And he like trots away.
Yeah, other than that, or John Leguizamo.
Or John Wick.
John Leguizamo, he's running an auto shop.
It could be John Wick.
Everybody's just mauling people. Oh man. The Big Chill.
So this, I was thinking about, and I don't think that there's like, this doesn't have like a big chill, but again, I go back to the, moment.
Yeah. It's not like your classic, like gives the chills moment, but it's a very, like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's a very impactful moment. It's like,
you're just like,
it's the tone shift too of the movie. It's like, it goes from, this is who John Wick is, and this is like this guy realizing that his life has completely turned around.
It's just like, it's just a perfect movie moment. I love it so much.
Last category before more store prequel, sequel, or remake. We obviously have three sequels.
There's also a show I have not watched, and it did not get very good reviews about The Continental.
Oh, we have.
And like,
it wasn't
the beginning of The Continental, whatever.
Wasn't there like a, no, I'm thinking of, there was a movie with Sterling K. Brown, and I think Jodie Foster, called Hotel Artemis, which is about kind of like a mob, like a hotel like that. The John Wick prequel, I feel like will happen at some point. They will cast John Wick, or they'll just de-age Keanu, which I don't know.
There's plenty of, they are making a, I believe it's called The Ballerina, which is the Ana de Armas. It's like a, nope, not that one. I think that's what it was. Let me see. I'm just talking through stuff. Not that. A ballerina is haunted by her reflection. That's not it.
Seems not fun.
No. It's... Anyway, I'll look it up. We can look it up. But I thought they were making one that was
I mean, they'll keep milking this IP until the cash stops coming in. Like, they'll keep they'll keep going back to the well.
June 7th, 2025. So the release date's been pushed back a year, but it's called Ballerina, spin-off movie starring Ana de Armas as another assassin in the John Wick universe.
I mean, I'll probably watch it.
I'm in for, because did you see No Time to Die?
Yeah, in her limited time.
And she was fantastic. Yeah. She could absolutely carry, like, gorgeous spy assassin. 100%.
Wasn't she the lead in that Chris Evans movie that you liked? Ghosted?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. That's an action movie, right?
Yeah, as long as they don't put her in a wig that bad again. Like,
we don't like a bad wig. So, no, the thing is, like, I think the John Wick prequel is an obvious layup, because he has this storied career beforehand, and this like night where he buries all these bodies. Like, I feel like that's a given. But what about a sequel that's an alternate universe that's just like John Wick turning that big house of his into like a rescue dog organization, and it's just John Wick dealing with like 20 different puppies and really trying to manage that?
They should have something where like it's a spinoff that he's mentoring like a new like assassin, and he has like six dogs in his house at all times.
That'd be like wonderful. He calls the cleaning guy, like the restaurant, the reservations guy, and he's like, I need help over here. And the guy shows up he's just like, my house is covered in poop. Like, I legitimately need you guys to clean, please. Just one time. I have no bodies for you. I just please pick up the poop. There's pee everywhere.
Just pretend there's dead bodies, and instead
you guys,
just mop.
You guys don't have a steam cleaner for my carpets?
Yeah. No, I'd love that.
No, I mean, there's going to be more of this. And what's next for our guy? What's next for Keanu? Yeah. So he's credited in Ballerina, so he'll be in that. He doesn't have anything, it looks like, coming out this year.
For him, take a little break.
Taking a well-deserved break. Man, he has been in some movies that made a lot of money.
And Team 2 is coming out. He's going to be in something called Berserker, I think, if that's what those letters mean.
Interesting.
Berserker, I think.
Interesting. Yeah, man.
Oh, it looks like it's a video game, maybe?
Like we talked about this when we did Speed, but have you ever watched the Much Ado About Nothing that features Keanu and Denzel?
I don't think I have.
I really think I think I had to watch it in college. But I mean, just for the sake of the content, it is, I mean, truly incredible. It is a Shakespeare adaptation. Man, Kenneth Branagh is fucking cheesing in this poster. So is Denzel. But it's Kenneth Branagh, Emma Thompson, Denzel, Keanu, Michael Keaton, Kate Beckinsdale. Robert Sean Leonard from
Look at Denzel on the poster.
Yeah, like the poster is fucking Denzel looks like he's up to some shit in the poster.
Yeah. Why is Michael Keaton look like such a he looks like a convict?
That's I think it's the what's going on with his hair is the tough thing. That is where our good friend Mike says this best about when Bomani Jones told him it was time to come home with the hair. And I think at this point, someone needed to tell Michael Keaton it was time to come home.
Borracho.
Man. Well, we ended that podcast exactly where I thought we would with the 1992 or 1993
Much Ado
About Nothing, where Keanu plays Don John. So exactly where I thought we'd leave off. Caroline, tell the folks again where they can follow you.
You can find me at CW Darnie on all the things. And you can listen to For the Water Cooler anywhere you get your podcasts. And head over to For the Win and check out. I've got movie reviews.
Roadhouse review.
From, yeah, Roadhouse review. I should have some more Roadhouse content coming here shortly.
Are you getting in an octagon and fighting someone for content?
Yeah, I think so.
Are you going to fight Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yep.
I was hoping that would be the case.
I need to figure out how to get the video out because you can see me get roasted by Billy Magnuson.
I don't know why, but I feel like I thought you were seeing me get my ass kicked by Jake Gyllenhaal. I need to get the video out.
No. I'm so mad they didn't start the one video early enough because when I joined or when like the Zoom thing picked up, Billy Magnuson from Game Night and Lucas Gage were singing Sweet Caroline. Because I guess they had said like first up is whatever. And so they're singing Sweet Caroline and then they're talking to each other and they transitioned into Roses by Outkast. And it was delightful and they hadn't started the recording and I was devastated because like I don't get to start that.
That's
like they started in 7 years.
That's a tragedy. Lost the time.
Yeah. And then, yeah, they started it in time for me to get roasted. Well, just a cool roasting. And I definitely, I don't know. I understand how movies work. I do. I promise. But there's a scene where Billy Magnuson plays the like decadent villain, you know, for this version of Roadhouse, and he's getting a straight razor shave on this yacht as the yacht is like hitting waves. I don't like scenes that involve men shaving. It gives me anxiety.
Straight razors give me anxiety, which is like I'm baby faced, I'll never have to worry about that. I will never be shaving with a straight
razor. I'm even talking especially straight razors, but even like a Bic, like if there's a real close, like I don't like it. I don't like it.
Dexter
had it and it scrapes along and he cuts himself. I don't like it. Yep. So I asked Billy about the scene and thankfully Lucas was like, oh, it made me so anxious. And I got this great story out of him about how like, you know, one of the other actors actually threw up and was like throwing up over the side of the boat and his crack was showing.
That would have been me.
And like one of the other guys had to like pick up his lines because the guy, they just like kept rolling. And so then I was like, but they didn't actually like try and shave. He's like, no, they didn't shave me. And I was like, I don't know. He's like, it's movie magic. So
I was going to tell you during our conversation about Mamma Mia that the life Stellan Skarsgård is living, sailing in his boat, seems really nice, but I get too seasick, so I would never be able to live that life.
If we did Mamma Mia, for sure, best time, worst time, best time is Stellan Skarsgård.
Best time. I mean, like, we could do Musical May. And
we could
Mamma Mia. Give it its- In the Heights, Greece. Let the patrons pick something.
Yeah, we could do that.
Is May a 5 Monday month? Let's see. Tis not four. But yeah, everyone go check out For the Water Cooler. And if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. If you want to support the show and if you want to be part of the group that picks the episodes that we're going to do, you can join the Patreon at patreon.com/bigscreensports. And we will catch you next Monday. Thanks for listening.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.